Welcome back to the Balanced Mind. I hope you are all well. My name is Dion Bicycle, and today we have a very interesting topic. We are going to talk about secrets. We are going to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, and also how secrets goes together with boundaries. Think about that word for a second. Secret. It has a heavy, mysterious weight to it. As a counselor, my entire professional life is built around secrets. Day in and day out, people sit opposite me and hand over parts of their lives they cannot show to the rest of the world. Because of that, I see the profound power they hold. A secret can be a beautiful gift, a slow-burning poison, or a structural prison that locks a person away from true connection. In this episode, we are going to unpack the human autonomy of keeping things hidden. At the end of the day, a healthy mind isn't one with zero secrets. It's one that shows exactly why it keeps a secret, who that secret serves, and where the boundary needs to be drawn. Look at the three distinct phases of secrecy, starting with the one we often overlook, and that is the good part of a secret. When we hear the word secret, our minds naturally drift towards lies, betrayal, and deception. But there is a side of secrecy that is absolutely vital for the human joy, personal development, and psychological safety. First, let's look at the light towards a beautiful secret, the one built on anticipation and love. Think about a surprise birthday party. You spend weeks planning for your partner or your child. Think about a marriage proposal, an unexpected gift, or waiting to tell your extended family that you are expecting a child. Until you've reached the second trimester. These are secrets that hold a positive change. They are temporarily holding zones for joy. The intention behind these secrets isn't to deceive or exclude someone or hurt them. The intention is to amplify their happiness later on. It is an act of love wrapped in suspense. But good secrets go deeper than just surprise parties. From a developmental and psychological standpoint, learning how to keep a secret is actually a critical milestone in childhood. When a child realizes that, hey, you know, I know something that mom or dad does not know, it is the very first taste of psychological autonomy. It is the moment they realize they are a separate individual with their own internal world. As adults, we need a version of this too. This is the boundary of privacy there is a massive difference between secrecy and privacy. Privacy is keeping your journal locked because your inner thoughts belong only to you, or deciding not to share every single detail of your past relationship with a new partner on the first date. This isn't deception. It is a healthy boundary that protects your individuality. You don't owe the world total transparency. Your inner life is allowed to have a velvet rope around it. But then, we cross the line into the territory of the bad of a secret. The bad of secrets are the ones driven by fear, avoidance, and the intent to mislead. These are the secrets that actively erode the foundation of our relationships and our own mental well-being. I'm talking about the lies of omission, where you don't technically tell a lie, but you purposely leave out massive pieces of the truth, because you know the truth will cause conflict or consequences. What makes these secrets bad? Is it just a damage they do to the other person when revealed? It is the devastating damage they do to you while you are keeping them. In psychology, we talk a lot about cognitive load. Your brain only has a certain amount of processing power available. When you are keeping a bad secret, you are constantly running a heavy resource draining program in the background of your mind, much like when you're on your laptop and you're running a program in the background while you're busy on another one. That's the same principle. You have to remember that what version of your story you told to whom. Monitoring your body language and your hypervigilance guard on your phone. You live in a constant state of low-grade fight or flight, always waiting for the other shoe to drop. The anxiety isn't caused by the event itself. It's caused by the exhausting daily maintenance of the facade. Every time you look at someone you love while holding a bad secret, you are looking at them through a pane of glass. They think they are connecting with you, but they are actually connecting with the mask you've put on to protect the secret. Over time, it creates a profound sense of loneliness. The secret morphs into a wall that completely blocks authenticity, or rather, authentic intimacy. Finally, we have to look at the ugly part of a secret. Bad secrets are about avoiding consequence. Ugly secrets are born out of deep shame, systemic fear, and trauma. These are the secrets that make people physically sick. They are the family taboos, the hidden abuse. the struggles with severe addiction that everyone in the house knows about, but no one is allowed to speak out loud. The ancestral scandals that are swept under the carpet for generations to protect a reputation. In dysfunctional systems, there is an unwritten rule that rules them all. And that is, don't talk, do not trust, and don't feel. The ugly secret demands absolute compliance. It forces children to become keepers of adults' burdens. In other words, their secrets. It isolates victims because they are made to believe that if the secret comes out, they will be the ones who destroy the family, or they will be the ones rejected by society. When a secret is rooted in the ugly category, it acts like emotional cancer. Because humans are wired for expression. When we take something incredibly toxic and look it deep inside our bodies, it doesn't just disappear. It mutates. It manifests as a chronic anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and also psychological pain, better known as psychosomatic pain. You think it up. Your brain is so powerful that it will create a pain when emotional pain is not dealt with. Then we get psychosomatic pain. And a total inability to form secure attachments with other human beings. Now, as a counselor, this is where the heaviest work happens. When a client finally musters the courage to speak the ugly secret out loud in the safety of the therapy room, you can often visually see their shoulders drop. But why is that? Because the moment an ugly secret is spoken to, an empathetic, non-judgmental witness, its power is instantly halved. Secrets thrive in darkness, isolation, and shame. The second you bring them into the light of a safe relationship, the shame begins to evaporate and the healing can finally begin. So, we have the good, which protects our joy and our autonomy. We have the bad, which drains our cognitive energy and builds walls in our relationships. And we have the ugly, which locks us in the prison of shame and trauma. Because how do we navigate the complex web of when to speak up, when to hold on, and how to protect our own minds when other people try to hand us their secrets? The answer lies entirely in only one word. And we speak about this word quite often, and I'm feeling strong about this, and that is boundaries. So in the next segment, we are going to step inside to my world. the therapy room. I'm going to take you behind the curtain to show you what it is like to be a professional vault. The immense weight of holding the community's secrets and the exact clinical boundaries I have to use to keep my own mind balanced. Now I want to take you somewhere private. I want to pull you back the curtain and invite you directly into my world as a counselor. I want to invite you to go into my therapy room. As a counselor, my relationships with secrets is entirely unique. For most people, a secret is a choice of a consequence. For me, it is a professional baseline. My entire career is built on a foundation of absolute confidentiality. When clients walk through my door, they aren't just bringing their anxieties, their grief, or their relationship struggles. They are bringing the heavy, hidden pieces of themselves that they dare not to show to their spouses, their parents, or their closest friends. Because of this, the therapy room functions as a physical sanctuary. It is a psychological vault. Let's start with the good from the counselor's perspective. In my line of work, the absolute confidentiality of a session is a beautiful therapeutic tool. When a client knows that whatever they say is locked secretly within the four walls of my office, something incredible happens. The defense mechanisms drop. The exhausting mask they wear out in the world begins to slip away. For many people, the therapy room is the only place on earth where they don't have to perform, pretend, or protect their reputation. Think about it, how liberating it is. If you are struggling with a thought or a past action that you view as unforgivable, carrying it alone is agonizing. But handing it over a trained professional who looks at you with empathy instead of judgmental thoughts changes the whole context. So, in this context, keeping a secret isn't deceptive. It is protective. It creates fertile, quiet, whom very deep emotional healing can take place. My silence is what guarantees my client's safety. It allows the ugly truths to be spoken out loud, processed, and ultimately dismantled. This is the highest privilege of my job. But holding that vault closed requires a massive amount of mental and emotional energy. It brings us to the bad of a counselor's perspective. That is the psychological toll on a person who is the therapist. When I hold a client's secrets, I'm not just holding a set of facts. I'm holding the emotional residue of their life. Day after day, I sit on the couch and absorb stories of deep betrayal, hidden trauma, secret addictions, and profound grief. In the clinical world, we call this vicarious trauma or compassion fatigue. What makes this uniquely challenging for a counselor is that I cannot go home at the end of the day and vent to my partner. I cannot sit down with a friend over coffee and say, you know what, you won't believe what a client told me today. The ethical boundaries of my profession mean that I carry these heavy dark narratives completely alone in my professional lives. Imagine walking around every day with a backpack, and every hour a different person steps up and drops a heavy stone into the backpack. By 5 p.m., that backpack is incredibly heavy. If you don't know how to consciously take it off, it will crush you. How do I sit at dinner with my family and be present, loving, and lighthearted when just an hour earlier I was holding the agonizing secret of a broken marriage or childhood trauma? It requires an intense level of psychological compartmentalization. If a therapist doesn't have a rock-solid internal boundary, the bad secrets of others will slowly erode their own mental peace. Finally, we have to look at the ugly part of secrets of the counselor's perspective. This is the moment every therapist hopes necessity of breaking confidentiality. While the therapy room is a vault, it is not an absolute lawless zone. There are strict ethical and legal boundaries that dictates when a secret must be exposed. As a counselor, my primary directive is to do no harm and protect life. Therefore, if a client shares a secret that reveals an immediate credible threat of harm to themselves, such as severe suicide intent or an immediate threat to harm to someone else, the vault must be open. If a secret involves the abuse of or neglect of a child or a vulnerable adult, the boundary of confidentiality is legally shattered. These are the heaviest, most agonizing moments in the counselor's life. When you have spent months building a secret bond of trust with a client and they hand you an ugly secret that triggers your legal duty to report, you are caught in betrayal emotional vice. You don't know that by breaking their confidence to keep them or someone else safe, you must permanently damage the therapeutic relationship. They may feel betrayed. They may feel exposed. It is a stark yearning reminder that safety must always trump comfort. It is the moment where a counselor must step out of the role of the silent keeper and step into the role of the active protector, carrying the weight of the client's anger or hurt in order to preserve their lives. So you see, from where I sit on the counselor's couch, secrets are complex, is a complex web. They are very medicine that allows a person to heal, but there are also the toxic material that can drain a therapist's empathy if left unchecked. And occasionally, they are dangerous embers that we must expose to the light to prevent a fire. Holding this balance every single day has taught me everything I need to know about personal preservation. It has shown me that you cannot survive the weight of secrets without the crucial mechanism called boundaries. But this isn't just true for therapists. It is also true for you, too. In your everyday relationships, how do you protect your mind when a friend dumps a heavy secret on you? How do you protect your mind from your friend who dumps a heavy secret on you? How do you know if a secret you are keeping is a loved one is actually destroying your own mental health? Now I want to pivot. I want to take the heavy professional boundaries I have to use every day on the couch and hand them over to you. Because you don't need to be a qualified counselor to feel crushed by the weight of a secret. In your everyday life, with your partners, your family, your friends, and your colleagues, you are constantly navigating hidden information. You are constantly deciding what to share, what to keep back, and what to do when someone hands you a heavy burden and says, please do not tell anyone. To keep your mind balanced, you need to understand three specific types of boundaries when it comes to secrets. So let's break them down. The first boundary is protecting your own vault. This is your secret protecting someone else's at your expense. Let me just say that again. This is your secret protecting someone else's, but at your expense. The first boundary we need to look at is internal. It is the boundary you hold with yourself without the secrets you choose to keep for other people. We often keep secrets out of deep sense of loyalty. We want to be a good friend, a supportive partner, or a reliable sibling. But there is a massive difference between a healthy boundary of privacy and a toxic world of protection. You have to ask yourself, is this secret keeping someone safe, or is this enabling destructive behavior while destroying my own mental health? I see this all the time in relationships. Someone will keep the secret of their hidden addiction, their raging temper, or their financial infidelity. They hide it from family and friends because they want to protect the partner's reputation, or they fear the conflict of what will happen if the truth comes out. But look at the cost. By keeping that secret, you are carrying the consequences of their choices. You are living in a state of hypervigilance, walking on eggshells, and isolating yourself from people you love and support you. If a secret requires you to lie to protect a toxic person, that is not a boundary. That is an emotional prison. A healthy boundary means realizing that you are responsible for your own peace, not managing the reputation of the fallout of someone else's bad choices. If keeping their secret is making you sick, it is time to open the vault. Now let's look at boundary number 2. Refusing to be the emotional dumping ground. Now this boundary is interpersonal. It's about how you manage other people's attempt to offload their heavy narratives onto you. We all have that friend, the one who calls you up, lowers their voice and says, "Look, promise me you won't tell a single soul." But, well, before you can even answer, they dump a massive, dramatic and dramatic or deeply deep secret directly onto your lap. They get to hang up the phone feeling lighter because they've shared their burden. But what happens to you? You are left holding onto a hot potato. You are stuck in a piece of information that might make you feel uncomfortable, guilty, or stressed. And you've been stripped the right to talk about it. You have the absolute right to set a boundary before the secret is even told. You are allowed to say, "Hey man or lady, I love you and I want to support you. But if this is something incredibly heavy, or if it involves hurting someone we both know, I'm the right person to hear this from you. I don't want to carry that weight." You are allowed to say this. You are allowed to protect yourself. Setting this boundary doesn't make you a bad friend. It makes you a self-aware human being. You are acknowledging your own capacity. You are refusing to let your emotional space be treated like a dumping ground for secrets you don't ask to carry. Now let's look at boundary number 3. The boundary of professional help. This is now friends versus therapists. This leads us directly to the boundary, like I said. Knowing when your secret is too big for a casual friendship and belongs exclusively in a professional environment. There is a cultural myth that a true friend should be able to handle anything you throw at him. We expect our friends, our spouses, and our parents sometimes to be our amateur therapist. But this expectation completely blurs the line of healthy boundaries. Your friends love you, but they are not equipped with the psychological tools, the emotional containment strategies, or the legal framework requires to hold systematic trauma, deep shame, or dangerous secrets. When you dump a deeply ugly secret onto a friend, you risk shifting the dynamic of the relationship from an equal partnership to a heavy, unbalanced, dynamic caretaking. This is actually why professionals like me exist. The boundary of therapy is designed specifically to hold heavy lifting. When you share a secret with a therapist, you don't have to worry about breaking their mental health. You don't have to worry about judging you at the next family dinner. You don't have to worry about them accidentally slipping up and telling someone else. Recognizing a deep secret is too big for your social circle, and that isn't a failure. It is a massive step towards emotional maturity. It protects your relationship from burning out and ensures that the secret is processed by someone who knows exactly how to help you unpack it safely. When we look at these three boundaries, we begin to see a pattern. Secrets only hold power over us when we lack the boundary to manage them. If you can learn to protect your own vault from enabling others, refuse to be an emotional dumping ground, and hand the heaviest burdens over the professionals, your relationship with hidden information completely changes. You move away from the anxiety of a bad and ugly of a secret, and you step back into the safety and autonomy of the good. We've covered an immense amount of emotional and psychological ground today. We started by unpacking the complex anatomy of hidden information, looking at the good secrets that protect our joy, our privacy, and our blooming autonomy. We confronted bad secrets that steadily drain our cognitive processing power, forcing us to live in a hypervigilant state of fight or flight while building invisible glass walls between us and the people we love. And finally, we face the ugly secrets, those heavy burdens rooted in generational trauma, family taboos, and deep-seated shame that act like an emotional cancer inside the human body. We also pulled back the curtain on the counseling room itself, exploring the intense weight of being a professional vault and how setting back solid boundaries is the only way to avoid the crushing reality of vicarious trauma. Then we handed those very tools over to you, detailing the three essential types of boundaries you need to maintain in your personal life, protecting your own vault from enabling toxic people, refusing to let your ears be treated as emotional dumping ground for secrets you didn't ask to carry, and understanding when a hidden burden is simply too massive for a friendship and belongs strictly in a professional therapeutic space. But as we begin to wind down today, I want to step away from the abstract theory, the definitions, and the clinical frameworks. I want to lower the temperature of the room, and I want to speak directly, heart to heart, to the person listening to my voice right now. If you have been sitting there where you are, listening to this episode and you felt a sudden similar tightness in your chest, if you felt a heavy, cold knot in your stomach, because you realize that you are carrying an ugly secret or a bad secret that is slowly making you physically and emotionally sick. Please hear me when I say this to you. You do not have to carry it alone for a single second longer. As a holistic counselor, I know exactly how terrifying the concept of opening the vault can be. Shame tells you a very specific lie. It whispers into your ear that if people knew the absolute truth about your past, your thoughts, and your mistakes, or your current struggles, they would talk away, or they would walk away rather than talk. They would walk away. It convinces you that isolation is the only way to stay safe. But that's a trap, people. That's not true. Secrecy is what keeps this shame alive. I want to invite you into a completely different experience. I want to offer you a space where the heavy lifting can be shared, and where you don't have to carry the weight off by yourself. If something is lying incredibly heavy on your heart today, please reach out to me. I can help you. And you can directly phone me on the number 061-588-0651. Alternatively, if you feel like writing things down is a safer space for you, that's all fine. You can send me a private message on the Dion Bicycle Facebook page, and I will respond from there. Whether you just need to take the very first step, brave step, of speaking a painless truth out loud to another human being who will not judge you, or you are completely ready to do the deeper therapeutic work, whether you need to take that very first step, brave step of speaking a painful truth out loud to another human being who will not judge you, you are completely ready to do the deeper therapeutic work required to heal from a long-standing trauma. My door is always open to hear you. My heart is here to help you. I want to help you. You do not have to go through this pain. Your confidence will be respected, and your story will be honored, and your mental peace is entirely worth that one phone call. So as we close this episode today and prepare to go back into our busy lives, I want to leave you with one final grounding thought to keep your mind beautifully balanced this week. A healthy mind is not a completely open book. That the entire world has a right to read. True health does not mean you owe every person you meet total transparency about your past, your flaws, or your inner world. You are allowed to have privacy. You are completely allowed to have a velvet rope around your soul, protecting the sacred quiet spaces that belong solely to you. But as you navigate your week, I want to challenge you to run to the ultimate diagnostic test on the hidden things you are currently holding. Take a moment when the house is quiet tonight, sit with yourself and ask yourself a simple, profound question. Is the secret I am keeping right now building a healthy boundary or safety, or is it building a toxic war of isolation? Listen very closely to the answer your intuition gives you. If the secret is protecting your joy, preserving a beautiful surprise, or maintaining a beautiful, a respectful boundary of personal privacy, then let it sit beautifully and safe inside your vault, because it belongs there. But if the secret is keeping you sick, if it is draining your daily mental energy, if it is forcing you to wear an exhausting mask, or if it is protecting a toxic person at the devastating expense of your own mental well-being, remember the truth. You have the right, the power, and the permission to change the boundary today. You do not owe anyone a silence that destroys your soul. You are allowed to bring the ugly things onto the world, because the second the light hits them in a safe place, the shame begins to evaporate. The cognitive loads lifts and true healing can finally begin. Thank you so much for choosing to spend this time with me today on The Balanced Mind. Look after yourself. Be incredibly gentle with your mental spaces. Have the courage to set those healthy boundaries, and remember that you are never alone, as your secrets want you to believe. I will talk to you in the next episode right here on The Balanced Mind. Take care and goodbye for now.